From Charlotte, North Carolina, welcome to the New Year's Eve edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. We've combed through an entire year of broadcast, and we've compiled them into two programs. You're about to hear our second day of the best questions from you, our audience, and Hank's concise, well-reasoned answers that aired in 2009. If you can support the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the ongoing ministries of the Christian Research Institute with a special year-end gift, we would deeply appreciate it. December is the most critical month of the year for our ministry because we raise approximately one-fifth or 20% of our annual budget. To make a year-end tax-deductible gift, please call us at 888-7000-CRI. Or go online 24 hours a day to our secure website, www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here to begin today's program, Hank Hanegraaff.
A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. Barbara up first, listening in El Paso, Texas on KELP. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Hank. What I'm wanting to talk to you about, now I found one scripture here. John 1:1-4, about Jesus was the Word and this and that, how he proved that he is God too. I have a friend that tells me that Jesus is not God, that he is in unity with God. I says, then why did Jesus say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father?
Well, and I think that's a very good question, and you bring up one of the most significant texts in all the Scripture, John chapter 1, which declares, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and then this emphatic statement, the Word was God. Yeah, so Jesus is not only in existence before the world began.
What other scriptures do you have that I can give her?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of other scriptures that you can give her. Colossians, in fact, here's an easy way to remember it. John 1, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, Revelation 1, and 2 Peter 1. So the first chapter of a whole bunch of different books. For example, Colossians 1. There you have Paul saying all things were created by him. He is before all things, and God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Doesn't get much clearer than that.
Right.
Hebrews, and particularly the first chapter, Hebrews 1, is devoted to demonstrating the absolute deity of Jesus Christ. According to God the Father himself, Jesus is God. Here's what God the Father says, but about the Son, the Father says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. 2 Peter 1, where Peter declares to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. So there, Jesus Christ is called God and Savior.
This is what I tried to explain to her. I says, how can you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you say that he's not God when he is, in fact, God?
Well, he is, and remember that Jesus has credentials to back up the claim to deity. He demonstrated that he was God in human flesh by manifesting the credential of sinlessness.
Mm-hmm.
He demonstrated supernatural authority over sickness. He demonstrated supernatural authority over the forces of nature. He demonstrated supernatural authority over fallen angels. In fact, he demonstrated supernatural authority over death. In John 4, Jesus tells a royal official whose son was close to death, your son will live.
Yeah.
So if you go through the four Gospels, you have a record of how Jesus demonstrates ultimate power over death. And the quintessential example is he has the power to lay down his life and take it up again, thus demonstrating that he's God.
Okay, on that one right there, when he died on the cross and was buried, who raised him from the dead, God or himself?
Well, that's an interesting question because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead. The Bible says God the Father raised Christ from the dead. And the Bible also tells us that Jesus himself rose from the dead. So we have the Bible communicating that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus Christ was dead, remember it was his body in the tomb. But what did he say to the thief on the cross? Today, you'll be with me in paradise.
You will be with me in paradise.
Yeah, and what did he say to his father? Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So he's still in existence. Christ did not cease to exist. But the way you go about this, and it's interesting that you asked this question, because in Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine, I was talking about that flip chart at the opening of the show. I actually have an entry on the deity of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's the D in doctrine, and it is the mother of all questions. Jesus asked it, "Who do you say that I am?" And of course, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, you're going to say, well, you're the Archangel Michael. If you're a Mormon, you're going to say you're the spirit brother of Lucifer. If you're a New Ager, you're going to say you're an enlightened messenger. But if you're a Christian, you're going to say you are God. And Jesus Christ made that statement, and as a result, the Jewish leaders tried to kill him because in calling God his own father, they said Jesus was making himself equal with God. But I lay all this out in a flip chart. So you have, did Jesus really claim to be God? And I give you bullet points and all the passages that show that Jesus Christ really did claim to be God. And then, does the Bible claim Jesus as God? And then I give you all the first chapters so you can remember John 1, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, Revelation 1, and 2 Peter 1. And then I answer this question, what credentials back up Jesus' claim to deity? So you have it all in a little flip chart. You got it with you, and you can go right through it, and all the passages are there. I mean, talk about a cheat sheet right there in your hand or your purse.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this one here for John 1, 1 through 4, and John 4, and Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, Revelations 1 and 2 Peter 1.
You got it.
Okay. Okay. Well, I tried to talk to her, and I was thought, later on, I thought that she might be influenced by Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, you know what they do? They, you know, the Bible is so emphatic about the fact that Jesus is God that the Jehovah's Witnesses had to tamper with the text. And the way they did that was they took Colossians 1 and they entered the word other four times into the text. So Jesus becomes the creator of all other things. So the way they explain it is that God is the creator. He creates Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ becomes a junior partner in the creation of all other things.
Right. Well, that's not true, because I know that my Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ, and I know he is God. I know that deep within my heart, and nobody can change my mind.
And why do you know it? The Bible tells you so, yes. And you can demonstrate that the Bible's divine rather than merely human in origin, so your authority is a reliable authority. If you're talking to the Watchtower organization, they don't have a reliable authority. If you talk about the Mormons, they don't have a reliable authority, and that's why they ultimately devolve to a burning in the bosom, a feeling as opposed to a fact.
Well, thanks a bunch, Hank, and I really appreciate your help.
Hey, you got it, Barbara. Thanks for caring.
Take care, and God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And I pray that he will. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Talk to Jeff next. He's listening on KPXQ in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Jeff.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Hank, I have a question. If Bible prophecy is true, in which I believe it is, and, you know, because the Bible have prophesied about, you know, different things, the coming of Christ, and so forth and so on. In this administration that we're in now, it talks about how if America doesn't support Israel and so forth and so on. The question I have, can Bible prophecy be put off, or is what we've seen today with the natural disasters, Like I said before, we're not supporting Israel and so forth and so on. Is a lot of things we've seen today is coming true according to Bible prophecy, or is it something we can do as a nation or as people to put off Bible prophecy or to put off the end of time?
Well, first of all, you want to make sure that you read the Bible for all it's worth. There's no injunction in Scripture whatsoever, plain and simple, that we are to support Israel. We are to support the true people of God. And they're people from every tongue and tribe and language and people. So God is not a racist. In God, there's no male or female, and there's no Jew or Greek. So God doesn't hold Arabs and Jews on some kind of a different footing and doesn't have a sign over the promised land that says, this land only for the Jews, no one else welcome. God's just not a racist. Unfortunately, a lot of people misread the Bible and make God into a racist when nothing could be farther from the truth. So I'd be very careful with this whole notion that we have to lockstep support Israel any more than we lockstep support the United States of America. Where the United States of America departs from biblical wisdom, I don't support principles that go against the Scripture. I don't support the unjust taking of an innocent human life. You also have to be very careful with terms that you use, because Judaism entails religious belief systems. Israel is a nation. Zionism is a political structure. So I can say I respect Judaism while strongly disagreeing with the premise of Torah Judaism as it's practiced today. I repudiate anti-Israeli sentiments and yet defend Israel's right to exist, but I loathe Zionist atrocities. So again, we have to stand on the side of justice and equity and righteousness and not support a nation because we think that the Bible says something about that nation that the Bible doesn't say. And let me make this clear. When Jesus Christ comes, there is no longer need for temple, priest, and sacrifice because Jesus is the temple. When Jesus Christ comes, there's no longer need for a little piece of land on the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea. It may be important for geopolitical reasons, but in the economy of God, to go back to types and shadows, when the Lord of the land has come, is to trample, as Hebrews says, the sacred blood of Jesus Christ under our feet. So it's not about the land, it's about the Lord. It's not about the temple, it's about the master teacher, Jesus Christ. So we can't go back. We have the fulfillment in Jesus Christ, and therefore we have Jesus being able to say in the Sermon on the Mount, the meek will inherit the earth. We say, no, we want a small piece of land on the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Jesus says, no, the meek will inherit the earth. The land was an earnest of what was to come, the Lord. And so Jesus fulfills all the types and shadows. He forever reigns upon David's throne. And as such, we don't go back in the promises of God to type and shadow.
Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. I think it's really important to get a good fix on this. I've written about this in my book, The Apocalypse Code, because many people in the interest of following Scripture are actually following unjust principles. We can be very, very glad that we have Israel in the Middle East, and I support Israel. I've been to Israel many times, but we don't want to make the Bible say something that the Bible does not say about Israel. And just as Joshua is a type of Jesus who leads the children of Israel into the eternal land of promise, so King David is a type of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who forever rules and reigns from the New Jerusalem in faithfulness, in truth. In each case, the lesser is fulfilled and rendered obsolete by the greater. And I love how Paul illustrates this. He figuratively contrasts Sarah with Hagar. He says, many things should be taken figuratively, for the women represent covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. So here Paul is saying that the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the Jews, are Hagar. They're not children of the promise. And then he goes on and says, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. Of course, in saying that, Paul emphasizes that all who fixate on an earthly Jerusalem with a rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices are in slavery to types and shadows. Conversely, all who recognize that the shadow of Jerusalem has found fulfillment in the substance of Christ are set free to inherit the earth. Coming to Station Break, be right back with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
If you'd like to find out more about the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff, or to partner with us in ministry with a special year-end gift at this very critical time of year, we need to hear from you as December is quickly coming to a close. To contact us, please call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. There's more of the Bible Answer Man to come right after this brief pause. We are engaged in a war. Not a war with bombs and bullets, not even with power politics. This is a war with an invisible enemy, against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the only way to know victory over this enemy is to know the weaponry you have to fend him off. The Covering by Hank Hanegraaff is based upon Paul's words to the Ephesians commanding us to put on the armor of God. The Covering outlines this armor and its importance in our spiritual battles. He explains what it means to incorporate God's covering and the practical ways God delivers us from evil. Consider it your effective biblical battle plan to wage successful spiritual warfare. Call CRI and order Hank Hanegraaff's fascinating book, The Covering. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also order The Covering online by going to www.equip.org.
For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity: emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life.
Order The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ, and The Case for a Creator DVDs in the Lee Strobel 3-disc collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on The Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. What you're hearing today is a cross-section of the vast breadth of inquiries we receive here at the Christian Research Institute. Throughout the year, people are searching for God. They're hungry to discern what He has stated in His Word, and properly answering their many questions is a ministry that Hank and CRI take very seriously. And in order to do this effectively, we need the prayerful and financial support of listeners like you. If you benefit and learn from the daily broadcasts of the Bible Answer Man or from our website, equip.org, or publications like the Christian Research Journal or Equip, can we count on your support to help us continue on your station in 2010? It's easy to contact us even during this holiday season. Just call toll-free at 888-7000-CRI on business days. Or you can give online 24 hours a day on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now with more of the best questions and answers from 2009, here's CRI President and Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
In the coming year, we want to spend so much time on this broadcast demonstrating that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. We want to tackle what I consider not a problem, but the problem of biblical illiteracy. People do not read the very Bibles they pretend to defend. And we want to correct that woeful situation. We want you to stand with us in the process. This is a ministry that can make a significant difference in the lives of millions of people around the globe. And we ask you to stand with us in that process. If you can do that, please go to the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can give in a safe, secure fashion. We need your support. You can do that via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Want to go to the phone lines, talk to Renee in Glendora, California, listening on KKLA. Hi, Renee.
How are you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
Likewise. Thanks for taking my call. Hank, my question is regarding the Emergent Church. What are some of the main points of the Emergent Church and where they differ from evangelical or what we understand as Orthodox Christianity? So that's essentially my essential question. There's been a couple of questions or concerns that I've had with one of the churches that we've been visiting in this new town we're at and the reoccurring of one of the books of Brian McLaren on their resource table. And so I was just a little cautious regarding that. I just wanted to hear what you've been able to investigate or research regarding the Emergent Church.
Yeah, well, let me put it to you simply. There are emergent evangelicals. They have a hip message that's orthodox, and they communicate it in a hip manner. But they're communicating an orthodox message. But there's also emergent liberals, and they have an unorthodox message. Maybe they're hip, but the message is not orthodox. And you mentioned one of them, Brian McLaren. Another one would be Rob Bell. Rob Bell says, and I'm actually looking at an article right now, ironically, in the Christian Research Journal, which is called Navigating the Emerging Church Highway. So this article comes from the Christian Research Journal, and the journal is available through the Christian Research Institute. You can subscribe to it. You can get this article online. But Rob Bell, who is one of the emergent church leaders of a liberal persuasion, says, and I quote, "If Jesus had a real earthly biological father named Larry, and if archaeologists prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the virgin birth was really just a bit of mythologizing the gospel writers threw in, to appeal to the followers of Mithra and to religious cults, we would essentially not lose any significant part of our faith because it's more about how we live. In other words, it's not about doctrine such as the incarnation. It's about how we live. But as I've said on this broadcast many times, ideas have consequences. And by the way, the ghastly consequence of not believing in the incarnation and finding the tomb of Larry, who is the biological father of Jesus, if that were true, the Bible would be false. Mary would have been a sexually promiscuous woman. I mean, the consequences are dramatic for the historic Christian faith. It's not about orthopraxy alone. It's about orthodoxy. That's why we can say that the martyrs spilled their blood for essential Christian doctrine, including the incarnation and the resurrection and the deity, the unique deity of Jesus Christ. Doctrine matters. If you look at the Apostle Paul, how does he write Ephesians, a classic case in point? Three chapters on doctrine, three chapters on the practical application of that doctrine. And he says to young Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, for if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. It's not one to the neglect of the other. And unfortunately, in the emergent church, doctrine has almost become a dirty word among the emergent liberals. Again, the article is in the Christian Research Journal. You should get a hold of the article. It'll fill you in on the details. Fair enough?
Yes, actually, thank you.
I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jeff. He's listening on KCCV in Shawnee, Kansas. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
The reason I called, I'm a paraplegic. I had a car accident 11 years ago, and I was fortunate in this sense. I'm a born-again believer, and when the accident first occurred, and I was laying on the ground, and after I became conscious, I realized I couldn't feel my legs. But one of the things God did for me was remind me of the story of the three little Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and in that, the story is this, that, you know, even though I didn't feel my legs, that, you know, I had a God, even though he wouldn't come back, I knew I had a God that was able to give them back to me at any time. And in saying that, I had a peace about it. And I still have that peace about losing the ability to walk. But here in the last couple of years, I have experienced a lot of pain in my lower body. It seems none of the doctors here understand why I'm feeling it or how. And the different medications haven't worked. And I was just curious. Well, what I really wanted to know was the last half of your broadcast. And then you give him the Psalms 139 is something to work on as well for me. But if you had something that you could share with me and try to understand why would God, even though I feel like I'm doing everything to please him, yet I'm still experiencing this discomfort. And I don't feel that he's hearing my prayers at this time.
Well, Jeff, he is hearing your prayers. If you are a believer, he is definitely hearing your prayers. And it would be certainly rash for me to speak to someone who is going through what you're going through. I can't experience exactly your pain. I don't know what it's like to be a paraplegic. I know one thing, that it's difficult to sleep when you have pain, and as someone has once well said, lack of sleep makes cowards of us all. So it's a difficult situation that you're going through, and I don't want to be cavalier about your situation. But I have to say that this is something I have learned over time, and that is simply God doesn't give us the reason why. He teaches us to trust him in the midst of our whys. There's a man who experienced what you have experienced and much, much more. His name is Job. And in the Bible, Job asks God the why question. And God thunders back and says, in essence, Job, you wouldn't understand. You don't understand how I create a tiny drop of dew. How are you going to understand what happens in the heavenlies?
Right.
We cannot understand the purposes of God. Maybe every now and then we can get a glimpse. And I oftentimes have looked back at tragedies in my own life and seen with 2020 hindsight how God has used that tragedy in my life so that I could minister effectively to someone that I could have never touched in any other way. So sometimes I get a glimpse of the why, at least in part. But ultimately, I can't answer that why question. But what happens in the book of Job is Job is able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, because Job has understood enough about the nature of God that he can trust God. And that's where you have to be. You have to be at a place of saying, I can trust God even when I don't understand, and know with complete certainty, Jeff, that one day you will understand. And one day, as Johnny Erickson Tada, one of my heroes of the faith who's a quadriplegic, has said, she is going to leapfrog the pearly gates. And what she's saying in humorous fashion is that she's going to have her legs again. And that is a certainty. She is going to be transformed, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. That's her hope. That's your hope. And as we look forward with hope, we can endure the hardship. And even though I can't relate to your situation, I can tell you Jesus Christ can. And I can tell you that God gives you the grace you need when you need it, and oftentimes not before, which is to say, that someone thinking about your situation can't fully comprehend the grace of God in your situation like you can. And so it's, as Nancy Guthrie has well said, you will be able to hear God speak into your sorrow, but you'll be able to hear it in one way with such power when you start to internalize the Word of God in the midst of pain. And that's what Charles Haddon Spurgeon did. He said, I did never learn so much as I did upon the bed of pain. I'm going to have to leave it at that. I want you to know that I'll be praying for you tonight as well with my kids. As soon as I go home, I'm going to tell them about these phone calls, and we're going to pray specifically about you and your situation. It's a situation that I can't comprehend, but our Heavenly Father can and will. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Thanks for calling, Jeff. I am coming up to station break. We're going to be back with many more of your calls in just a few moments. In the meantime, if you want resources that can help you hear God speak in the midst of your sorrow, we have a book by Nancy Guthrie. It's available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to find out more about the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff, or to partner with us in ministry with a special year-end gift at this very critical time of year, we need to hear from you as December is quickly coming to a close. To contact us, please call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to www.equip.org. Are you reading the Bible for all it's worth? Well, to help you along as a guide, teacher, and encourager, we invite you to stop by our website and click on the Legacy Study Bible Reading Plan. There you'll discover a daily reading plan to get you through the Bible in a year. It's a great plan because it takes you through the Bible in books, not bits. While you're there, you can read Hank's own reflections and instruction from the scripture passage for that week. Plus, you can even email Hank with your question. Look for the Legacy Study Bible Reading Plan on our website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. The Bible Answer Man will continue.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York, with sound design by one of the top studios in the industry, and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. As we approach our year end, we'd like to thank those who pray for and support this ministry. 2009 has been a tremendous year of ministry, with so many lives having been impacted.
I have been a listener for CRI for the last 20 years. You know, in today's culture, truth is relative. But when Hank speaks the Word of God on his program, that truth will not be denied access into someone's heart. And I pray daily for those people on the program and for Hank. And it is a blessing to listen to Hank, read the Word, and pray for people over the radio all of these years. And I thank you for everything that you do every day.
December is a critical month for our ministry, one in which we raise about 20% of our annual budget. If you have benefited from the programming of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our website, equip.org, or our publications like the Christian Research Journal or the Equip newsletter, then we ask that you prayerfully consider a strong year-end financial gift. You can contact us by calling our toll-free number, 888-7000-274, or you can give online on our secure website 24 hours a day at equip.org. Thank you for your support. And now, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up, Joe, listening at WMCA in Paterson, New Jersey. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you
for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Yeah, my question was, recently I have a family member of mine committed suicide, and I don't think she was in her right mind when she did it, and just wanted to know if, I don't know, is she going to go to heaven or to go to a place to rest for now?
Well, first of all, my condolences, Joe.
Thank you.
Can't imagine.
I've been at my wit's end for, I can't say, I don't know what to do with myself anymore.
Let me pray for you before I answer the question. Father, I pray that you will give Joe the peace that passes all understanding. I pray, Father, as we communicate, that you will use me, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, to speak truth and love and grace and peace into Joe's life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Joe, look, the Bible does not tell us the answer to that question. We know that suicide is murder. In other words, it's taking your own life. It's taken the life of a human being. Even though it's your own life, it's still murder. And the Bible never condones murder. But you said something in the prologue to your question, and that was that your daughter was not in her right mind at the time.
That's what I truly believe, yeah.
And it's certainly possible for someone at a time of despondency in their life, or a time in which they are not, quote-unquote, in their right mind, to do something unthinkable as a believer. I mean, you would never think of murdering someone in your right mind, and certainly not as a believer, because you know that life and death are the province of God, and we dare not take that province, which is a province of God alone. But we cannot categorically state on the basis of Scripture that if someone has done that, that by virtue of that, they're not going to go to heaven. And we can talk about that by precedent in the Bible, because in the Bible you have David who commits murder. And he does it in his right mind. He does it with premeditation and forethought. In fact, he sent Uriah to the battlefront with his death warrant in his own robe or tunic. So we know that God forgave David. Now, the consequences never left his home, so he lived with the consequences for the rest of his life. We know on the basis of that precedent that someone can commit murder and still be forgiven by God. And therefore, I can say on the basis of Scripture that we cannot preclude that possibility with respect to your daughter. It is certainly possible that she will be with God for all eternity. But again, I'm not saying that in a cavalier sense, because one should never, ever, as a believer or otherwise, consider taking the life of another person or their own life.
Right. And my other question was, in the future, whenever I come to pass, and if I do, will we know each other again? That's my question.
Well, absolutely you will know each other again. In heaven, we're not going to have less knowledge. We're going to have more knowledge. We're not going to see less clearly. We're going to see more clearly. And though you will not be related to your daughter as a father is to a daughter, you will be related, but in a way that we cannot even imagine in this life. I mean, I can't imagine not being married to my wife in eternity, but the Bible tells me that while I won't be married to her in eternity, my relationship will transcend in eternity the best days of our marriage. It will be beyond something that I can conceive of. So my relationship is going to be different, but different in the sense of better.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it, Joe, and my prayers go with you. Difficult circumstance to deal with, certainly hard to comprehend.
You can't imagine.
Yeah. Go to Psalm 139 and meditate on it. Just read it and digest it and maybe even memorize it, because you will find out that there is no place that you can go outside of the love of your Savior.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, Joe. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Teresa, listening on KCCV, Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Teresa.
Hello, Hank. How good to talk to you. I have a question for you. On Sunday, July the 26th, there was a major article in the Kansas City Star, and it was on Mike Bickle and IHOP. And I know 10 to 15 years ago, they were into the Toronto blessing, the roaring, the clucking, the slang in the spirit, false prophets, Bob Jones and Paul Kane. Right now in Kansas City, people are flocking to IHOP like a magnet. So what my question is, has Mike Bickle repented?
No, Mike Bickle hasn't. He's gone through a metamorphosis. So he was a one-time leader of the so-called Kansas City Prophets, and now he's a Pied Piper to thousands of young Christians in a new end-time prophetic movement, which he says is going to prepare the church for the soon coming Great Tribulation and Jesus' return. And he even has a date for that. Now, he's kind of smart. I got to hand him that. He makes the date far enough so it's not verifiable or testable. But he's made enough false prophecies so we already know what category to put him in. And I've written about that in a book titled Counterfeit Revival. But just listen to the kinds of things that Mike Bickle says. I want to play a little clip, and I want people to listen carefully to Mike Bickle, who's communicating, in essence, for Bob Jones, but makes some comments himself, and we'll talk about that in just a second.
Paul was anxious to talk to the end-time apostles and prophets more than the end-time apostles and prophets would have been to talk to Paul. He said, because what they would do would go far greater in the glory of God.
Amen.
And the saints in the New Testament would wait in line to greet the apostles coming from this generation.
And just that last line alone is enough to give me chills, quite frankly, and not good ones. And the saints in the New Testament would wait in line to greet the apostles coming from this generation. It's the whole story told by these Kansas City prophets now gone through their individual metamorphosis, that the apostles of this generation are greater than biblical apostles and prophets, and therefore, were the biblical prophets or apostles to return, if the Apostle Paul came back, or Jeremiah, or Isaiah, or Ezekiel, or even John on the Isle of Patmos with his prophetic prowess and message in apocalyptic terms, well, here's what would happen. All of those Old Testament prophets, New Testament prophets and apostles would stand in line to get the autographs of people like Bob Jones and Mike Bickle and the rest of them, Rick Joyner. And these are audacious kinds of statements to make. And I wonder if you can make those statements and fear God at the same time, because God has said over and over again in his word, do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying, the Lord says. And then God says, which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? And then, if that's not enough, the Lord God Almighty says, I have heard what the prophets say, who steal from one another words supposedly from me. Yes, declares the Lord, I've heard what the prophets say, who wag their own tongues and yet declare the Lord declares. I've heard the prophets who prophesy false dreams. They tell them and lead my people astray with their reckless lies. And I think those words, by God speaking through a true prophet, Jeremiah, apply to the false prophets. And I would say to them, don't worry about the Kansas City Star, but worry about the supreme ruler of the universe, because you are blaspheming by saying that God has said what he hasn't said and done what he hasn't done.
The Christian Research Journal put out an article about Joel's army marches on. Is that relating to Mike Bickle and that group of people?
In principle, yes, but more specifically, it relates to some of the false prophets around today, like Rick Joyner, and some of the false prophecies that he's making.
So is Mike Bickle involved with all them?
Well, in principle, yes. I mean, he's saying the same kinds of things. They believe that there's a great revival right around the corner. It's a great end-time revival. They believe that in that great end-time revival, there will be miraculous signs and wonders that will eclipse anything that you've read about in the Bible. The little children will walk up to hospital buildings. They won't even have to enter, lay their hands on the buildings, and everybody in the building is going to be healed or raised from the dead or whatever the malady is, it's going to be taken care of. This is not Christian theology. We don't deny in Christian theology that God can heal. But in Christian theology, the panacea is not in this world. It's in the world to come, and we already have authentication for what we teach in the Word of God. We don't need the lies of a Bickle to try to prop up the Bible.
Is there anything, Hank, I can get a hold of? When I try to talk to them and to warn them about IHOP and Mike Bickle, they just look at me like I'm just nuts and I'm just trying to cause trouble for the body of Christ.
No, you're honestly, that goes with the territory. Jeremiah was a true prophet of God. Hananiah, his counterpart, was a false prophet. Hananiah ate from the king's table. Jeremiah was thrown into a cistern, sinking in mud. There's a consequence to being faithful with the Word of God. It doesn't mean you're going to be prosperous or popular. But if you rescue one person, it's worthwhile. That's why God has placed us here, not to be politically correct or popular, but to be faithful to His calling. And by the way, the Christian Research Journal has an article on Mike Bickle.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, Teresa. Appreciate your call. Thanks for tuning in today. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for being with us for our Best of 2009 Bible Answer Man question and answer program. Answering the many and varied questions stands as a prime example of the unique role the Christian Research Institute provides in assisting the local church to equip believers with reasons for the historic Christian faith. If you're one of those who benefits from the daily output of our ministry, we ask you to consider offering your prayerful and financial support. December is a month in which we raise about a fifth of our yearly budget. It's your crucial participation that keeps us on this radio station. So to make a special year-end gift, simply call us toll-free at 888-7000-274 or give online at equip.org. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. On behalf of Hank and everyone here at CRI, we hope you have a special new year, focusing on how great our God has been to us all this past year. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.